of living before marriage, she surely will not be afterwards. A young lady who had been married less than a month said to your mom, I have never in my life been one to have my feelings hurt, but since I got married, I seem to go around with a chip on my shoulder. I guess it is just that I care more than I once did. Your mother corrected her. No, you don't care more. You just feel that you have more rights now, and therefore you are expecting more. The thing to remember is that personalities and temperaments do not improve after marriage. When the social restraints are lifted, the freedom that comes only from a secure union permits one to express true feelings. Boys, take note of a girl's attitude toward her father. It doesn't matter what kind of louse he may be. If she is rebellious to him, she will be twice as rebellious to you. If she speaks disrespectfully of him or to him, she will do likewise to you. Another thing to look for is a creative and hard worker. Don't marry a lazy, slothful girl. Beauty can get mighty old lying up in bed, framed in a disheveled, griping, slothful pout. Whatever you do, avoid a lazy girl. If she expects to be waited on, let her marry a waiter. You will have a full-time job rearing the children without having to rear a wife. Never marry a girl who feels she is not getting the best man in the world when she gets you. A girl who enters marriage thinking she could have done better will never be satisfied for wondering what it might have been like if. Avoid the girl who is enamored with her own looks. Better to marry a homely girl who is content to love and be loved than one who's going to spend her years trying to maintain her fading, imagined beauty. Life is too big and full to be spent waiting on a disappointed woman who is regretfully looking in the mirror. Let her be one who lets you be the judge of her beauty, and remind her often of it. After all, it was that beauty in her that attracted you to her in the first place. Avoid like the plague the girl who will pursue her own career outside the home. A wife must be your helpmeet. The last qualification is a love for children. A girl who doesn't want her life encumbered with children is suffering a deep hurt and is walking a road to misery. One day, the Lord willing, you're going to have children of your own. They must have a mother who loves and delights in them. Now, I want to speak to you about being good fathers. While you are still young and unmarried, with no children, do what all God's creatures do. Prepare the nest for their arrival. Don't put yourself in an occupational position that will leave you out of position to be a good father. Plan your life's trade so as to maximize your role as father. Fathers who become absorbed in their success in business will make lousy fathers. If you gain the whole world and lose your child's soul, what profit is it? Some workaholics will say they are doing it for their children, providing security, a good education, etc. Why is it that the children of hard-working, absent fathers never appreciate their sacrifice, and even show disdain and contempt for their father's success? The reason is that children are not fooled. They understand their father's absence to be selfishness on his part and lack of interest in them. They see their father getting more satisfaction from his job than from their presence. Whether this be true or not, the results are the same. Business success always passes away. Time spent with your children becomes a permanent, eternal part of them. The education your child will need cannot be purchased at a university. It is purchased by the father in the many hours spent doing things with his children. The modern concept of quality time as opposed to quantity is a salve for the conscience of modern parents thoroughly wrapped up in worldly pursuits. A scheduled hour of clinical-like attention makes your quality time nothing more than the fulfillment of a business appointment, a therapy session. It can be unreal and pretentious. Insincere attention to inconsequential matters cheapens real fellowship with your children. Your best time together will be that which is spent in real struggles to achieve common goals. A child will build self-worth not by being the center of attention and idle chatter, but by actually conquering a real-world need, putting up a mailbox, a clothesline, cutting the grass, bringing in firewood, washing windows, building a doghouse, going on the father's job, and being a real helper. Do you remember when Don Medill would come to work in our cabinet shop with his little 2 or 3 year old son hanging around, cleaning up sawdust or hammering a nail? There was no pretense or haste in that father-son relationship. Today, his sons are little men, secure in their role. As soon as your first child is born, begin your role as father. Relieve your tired wife for a couple of hours a day by taking the infant and attending to all his needs. When you are reading or resting, lay the child on your lap. When you boys were only a few days old, I would lay you on my chest to sleep out a restless night.